Let's start all over again. We roll it again. We're rolling. Episode 22. Oh, 23.
Yeah,
we did one without Justin. Bundy boycotted it. Bundy's like, I'm not.
I got your bag.
Bundy's like, I'm like, Bundy, he's away.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, you know, man.
It's just a real nigga shit, your real nigga story, you know what I'm saying?
This beat is so niche.
Today's guest sponsored by TK Mechanical out of Quincy, Mass. One of the best plumbers around.
Yeah.
Also, New England Strength and Fitness. By the time this comes out, it'll be open that day, I think. May 4th, Saturday, day before Cinco de Mayo, they're opening up Dokas and Joe Healy's place, and the guys over at Evolution Jiu-Jitsu all got a gym on Main Street in Tewksbury. The grand opening, the place is fucking nice. They donated some weights to Kyle's place, which basically means Bundy, because he deboed the weights. He's not letting anyone
Bundy
else,
took them all. Wouldn't
anyone share else that. Use them. I gotta stop saying it's not good, right? I fucking look like an idiot. also, I got a bidet recently in my house after my trip to Asia with my girl. I realized they have a bidet in every bathroom, and it was amazing. So,
what happened?
I had a little talk with Bundy, and Bundy kind of told me, you know.
Yeah, I wanted it.
Yeah, I mean,
needed it.
Some people, let's just say, some people it's a little more difficult than others to, you know,
yeah,
get the job done back there. Bundy's a big guy.
Yeah.
So I ordered a bidet for the sober house, and his has a remote control with it. Mine doesn't.
Really?
And Kevin hooked up my last one. This is my plumber right here. And yeah, it has a remote control, and Bundy's already saying, "Oh, I'm gonna keep the remote control in my room."
Like, no one's like Bundy,
the bidet's for the whole house. He's gonna be charging people like $2 a piece.
Hey, you want the result?
People don't know this. It's like there's a little bit of method to my madness, because I've noticed, like, you can just throw your toilet paper out the window.
It's amazing. Savings of toilet paper.
Really?
Yeah, because the toilet paper I burned through. Even Bundy says, I don't know where it's going. Right. And I think, like, when I was in a sober house in Florida, I got an apartment down there, and I'd always go back to my sober house because it was all, you know, guys I lived with, my friends of mine. And I'd go in there once a week and grab, you know, 4 rolls of toilet paper and 2 rolls of paper towels, because there was a closet. Now I'm starting to think someone's doing it to me, like comments coming around, like people are just stealing the toilet. I never paid for toilet paper once when I was down there. I just go to the, and the guy owned a few sober houses, and I just pop into a few of them and just
rifle,
steal, yeah, you know, cleaning supplies, toilet paper. You know, all this type of thing.
Upgrade. That's what we're doing.
All right.
With the bow day.
Today we have Kevin McClaney, the pride of Chelmsford. Now in Quincy, or Dorchester, where are you now?
Pride of Quincy.
Quincy. Here in Quincy. There's a party. There's a birthday party in Cathay Pacific coming up soon. Lambert. You know Lambert's Market?
Yes.
Yeah, Sports Lambert. I'm gonna stop saying that's Lambert's. A bad habit, the arm.
Yeah, it is.
We gotta get to the mic a little bit closer.
Yeah, let's go, Kevin.
Yeah, because I'm about to tell a good story.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So, Kevin, I met Kevin in the Billerick House of Correction many moons ago. I knew him a little, and I was younger. I was a little wild back then, and I remember one day I always tell the story about him. One day I was in front of there's a couple of brothers from Ubin, the Fonkoffs, Paul and David. They're both gone now. Paul was a good guy. His brother Dave was, more of like a street addict. And Paul was a tough prick. He was a tall, rangy guy. And he was an old school guy. And, you know, he'd been in his share of scrapes in there. Paul could throw his hands and, you know, he put many people asleep in there. And his brother David, actually, one time, I went to cop some heroin, and when I left, I actually called the cop one day with him on FaceTime. When I left getting the heroin, I picked up his brother David Fonkoff, And we got the heroin. When I dropped him off, I was driving this down the street in Lowell. There was a police car in front of me. He pulled over and put on his blue lights. And I took a left. I didn't realize he was stopping for me. I took a left, and then I went down by, there's like a YMCA, and I took a right on Gorham Street. And I'm going up Gorham Street, and there's another police car in front of me, and he turns over and puts on his blue lights, and he starts doing a three-point turn, and now I realize, you know, there's a problem here. And I forget what it was, maybe 20 bags, and I'm putting them down in my pants, and he points at me to pull into a gas station, and I pulled up, like, next to a pump, and the police car comes flying in front of me, and then I look, and I can see like 9 detective cars coming with the lights flashing. Now I'm like, oh, this isn't, you know, a regular traffic stop. They're coming. And I was doing a lot of stuff back then, so my mind was like, you know, it's over. They're coming for me for something serious that I did. I wasn't thinking that they had just watched me get heroin with this guy, Dave Fonkoff. That was the last thing on my mind, because I was doing so much stuff then that I was like, you know, something bad's happening. So they like surrounded me, and this police officer, John Samaras, he's a Boston cop, and I actually, you know, am friends with him now. Ironically, he's good friends with a friend of mine, and we met after this, but he wasn't a fan of mine at the time. And he stood out in front of the car, and he had his gun drawn. And I remember, you know, like they say, when you're looking down the barrel of a gun, it looks like it's this big, you know. And I remember real slowly, he said, "If you move, I will blow your fucking head off." And I immediately looked behind me, and they didn't have me boxed in. There was probably 8 police cars. So I immediately put it in reverse, and it was a blue IROC with a 350 V8 engine. I stomped it, and, you know, over the curb and spun around. And I got in this big high-speed chase, and I actually got away. And they didn't even know who I was at the time. They found out after, obviously. But the moral of the story, or the point of the story, is Paul's brother David, who, you know, he'd say it was a street junkie. And, you know, people always say, oh, junkies, they'll rat you out, they'll sell their mother. This guy, he's told me afterwards, he said, I was in the backseat of the police car, because the second I dropped him off, they grabbed him. I just didn't even see it. He's the one who copped the dope for me. And he's like, I heard that whole chase. You know, I spun around and went back at the police cars, and they crashed, went off the road. And the cop tells a story. I could have him on here, Samaras. But, and he goes, I listened to that whole thing in the back of the car. And you know, they were like, tell us who was driving. And he held his mud, and he got a year in Billerica House of Correction. I mean, this is a guy you'd think in a second. You never know who's going to tell you. Sometimes it's those solid jail guys that, you know, you get the paperwork and you go, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Right. And it's the ones you least expect. But I was in front of their house, and Kevin pulled up. And he was always, you know, everything. You know, always working, though. You know, he was, you know, do his things. You know, a thief. Not much of a drug dealer, I don't remember. But he always had a company. He did the spray insulation. Now he's got the plumbing business. But I remember he said, what are you, Mike Lee? I said, yeah. He said, what are you, dope sick? I was sick. I said, yeah. He gave me a $100 bill or a $50 bill. He said, yeah, go, you know. And this is probably in, you know, I don't know when it was, you know, the 90s, right? And I never forgot that about him. You know, it's when you're down and out and someone, you know, does something like that for you, you just never forget it. And a lot of people, you know, wouldn't do that, obviously. You know what I mean? Only the good ones. So with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Kevin, his brother Brian McClaney. They're all wrestlers from Chelmsford. All whole family, good people. Comes from good stock. Like myself, my father's a good guy. I just chose to do what I did. You know what I mean? we have our faults, but I'm gonna turn it over to Kev. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How you met me in Bundy?
Yeah, so funny story. So I met these guys. I remember I met you, Mike, when Kevin Boutette was on the tier. What a tier that was. That
God kid. Rest in peace. Yeah. My friend Kevin was one of my best friends. Was my best friend growing up.
I used to start laughing looking at him.
In Walpole on Christmas Day 4 years ago.
Looked like the Cowardly Lion.
Oh, yeah, he did the Cowardly Lion.
Did he?
He was that good, yeah.
Yeah, so I met these guys back then. And I remember I was in the Billerica House of Correction. I think I was waiting trial, and Bundy was on a tier the other end, and But I had every Playboy in the jail. I think I had to have 100.
Yeah, you did.
And I promised Bundy when I go, I was going to give them to him. And I gave them to him. And he never shared one book with anybody in the jail.
No, he was he's a terrible human.
Playboys are very important in jail.
Yeah, they were.
Maxims, Playboys, Bundy would hold them all hostage in a cell and not share them. And if he did, he'd have like a Hustler magazine. And if he let you use it, he'd numbered each page, you know, thinking you're going to tear a picture out. If you did, there'd be hell to pay. If Bundy caught you ripping a centerfold out of it. Anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, I did start a business when I got out of jail and did, you know, had a very successful business. It was good. So I was an addict my whole life. And then, you know, finally got to the point where, you know, trudging down the streets a little in the slush, you know, I remember it'd be freezing cold and I'd be like, I had a place I could go home, but I wouldn't. Like, I had to stay on the street for some reason. And one day I just said to myself, I'm never going to let drugs and alcohol put me in this position again. And and that was it. I never went broke again in life. I didn't get sober right away, but I got sober. And, you know, I had to give a few tries at it. And it finally worked for me. A lot of hard work. And, you know, went through a lot in life like addicts do. You know, we put our families through a lot or whatever. And I got to the point where I was helping other people. So I helped people open a lot of sober houses. And, you know, I gave a lot of time to that to, you know, give back because I got sober and, you know, people helped me. I wanted to help other people. And that was the change, you know. That was that change in life, not being selfish anymore. And caring about other people. And so my life went for a turn. And I started a business. It was successful. I hired a lot of guys out of the rehabs and stuff. And it worked out well for me. A lot of those guys still sober today. And, you know, I ended up selling that business. And I had a wrap. I had 10 years probation. And I got arrested on something. And I had to go back and do 2 years. And you know, I was like, so I'm in jail and I have a commercial on TV. And, you know, that's where the addiction took me. I was really successful in life, but I had a relapse. And next thing you know, I'm in jail and I could see my commercial on TV. So when I got out that time, I started another business now. And I've been going at it for 7 years and it's been well. But right before, in between that, I was fooling around a little bit. And Mike had a shop in Lowell. You had the shop.
The good shop.
The good shop.
And Bundy lived there.
That was nice.
Bundy lived in there.
I wish you still had it.
And so here's the story. So Bundy... I had money anyway at the time. My business was going there.
Right? I don't know.
I just like doing dumb shit. So Bundy just got out, and Mike went to Florida. He was in Florida, and Bundy said, "Hey, we're gonna go out tonight. I rented this truck from this guy over here. We're gonna get this truck. We're gonna go get this equipment." So Bundy steals equipment. Everybody knows, right? So big equipment, nothing little. So. We go to get the truck off the guy. He had given him the money. He said, "Hey, give me the keys." And the guy goes, "Oh, I can't find the keys." So Bundy goes, "Well, just give me the money." He goes, "Oh, I gave it to my wife. She went food shopping." So he clobbers the kid. Open. Boom. Down the kid goes. I look over. The cops are parked right there. Right there, staring at us. They're at the stop sign. You know where the liquor store is up on the corner? They were right there at that
Walker
stop
Street.
Sign.
We're
right there. Yeah. So I go, Bundy, the cops are right there. The cops look over. They just shake their head and drive away. See you later. The kid, so while we're distracted by the cops, the kid jumps up, starts jumping over fences.
And Bundy chased right after him.
Oh, yeah.
Like a gazelle.
He didn't Bundy. Move a muscle. He just stood there. Where the fuck is he going? the kid probably ran for 2 days. So we says, well, that was fun. So we go back to the shop. We're like, well, we still gotta go steal this equipment. So we take one of Mike's trucks. We took Mike's truck without permission. We took it. So we took Mike's truck.
Hold on. Public service announcement. Don't ever let Bundy use a truck if it has a trail hitch on it. Yeah. That'll fucking warrant for your arrest in no time.
So we go out to some town in the middle of the woods. So we get on a construction site, big construction site, and we're stealing this piece of equipment, and we got to get it in the back of the truck, and it's too heavy. And it's snow on the ground, but it's too heavy. We can't lift it up. So we're standing there like we own the place in the middle of the night. And Bundy's Googling how much fuel this thing holds. So he's like, yeah, it holds 130 gallons of fuel. So we dumped the fuel because that's 600 pounds, right? 700 pounds. So we dumped the fuel. It's pouring out. We're standing in kerosene. 100 gallons of kerosene.
I was soaked with it.
So, ruined our clothes. Yeah. What does Bundy do? Smoke a cigarette.
Wasn't me. That was you.
All right, I smoked a cigarette.
Hey, middle of the fucking diesel fuel. All oil. We're in a pool of it. So you're sitting there smoking.
We've been here for now an hour. Like, most people would get a little shook. You know, you're there that long. It's, you know, you're waiting for the cops to come, right? Which is, you know. So we finally get the thing on the truck. And it was probably 12 feet high, right? So we drive it home. So I take a picture of it because I think it's funny. And I send it to Mike. Which was the mistake, because then he sees that it was in his truck.
So, I think it was yellow. I think it was giant.
Yeah. It was huge. I can't believe we got back with it.
The fucking bumper was touching the ground. What the fuck? Bundy, I let Bundy live in my shop. He got out of jail. So this shop I had, you could pull two cars in. There was like a bedroom downstairs, but he'd stay in the office upstairs because the computer was there. And you have to come down the stairs, and there was a bathroom. So I go over there one time, and I look out. Now, he's watching like granny porn on my computer, and there's food, Chinese food all over the desk. And I look out the back window of my shop. It's on the second floor. And I'm looking, and he'd drink this iced tea, the Lipton iced tea, the bottles.
He still does.
There's got to be 50 bottles filled up with piss, scattered all around the back of the shop. So he's pissing in the bottles. He's just chucking it out the fucking window, right? Right below my window, all my neighbors. And then I look like 5 feet in front of the window. There's a Ziploc bag filled with piss hanging off a branch. Like, you fucking savage. Like, instead of walking down the stairs to go to the bathroom, you actually filled up a Ziploc bag with urine and just fucking threw it out the window like a frisbee, and it's hanging on the fucking tree branch. I'm like,
now, what it was, it was middle of the summer, so it had the leaves on the trees. Yeah. So you couldn't see it. So I kept whipping the fucking bags out there. The bags would stick all over the fucking limbs. So when the fall came and the leaves started to fall,
it was like a Christmas tree.
It looked like a Christmas tree with piss all over the place.
Yeah, you know what? That was the best shop I ever had.
And that was a good shop.
I wish I never gave it up. The only reason I gave it up is...
It's too bad you terrorized the landlord. Yeah.
That was the only way to get Bundy out of my shop was to just sell it. Otherwise, I would need the fucking
squatter's
state
rights.
Police.
He had squatter's rights.
Yeah.
I'm a squatter.
He was a squatter. But yeah. Mr. Bundles. So
that was a nice place.
So, McClanny, back to you now.
A lot of hookers.
Yeah.
Fuck you, yes, it was.
And Chinese food. It'd always be Chinese food. The good old days. Yeah. So, Mr. McClanny, me and him, I ran around with him a little bit when I was using.
Yeah.
A few times, bumped into him, got high together. I gotta stop saying, now I'm self-conscious of it.
I always tell the story, but they broke into Mike's truck, and they didn't steal his Maui Jims. He was so happy.
They got my bottle of Klonopin.
He couldn't believe how stupid they were to leave those Maui Jims.
Well, Tony Souza's house. Tony Souza's. He found me on Christmas. I've overdosed on Christmas 3 different times. One time I remember I had these Adidas shell toes, and they were Christmas editions. They were green. They were white with like green and red stripes. And the bottom of each sole, one of them said naughty and the other one said nice. I remember they were putting me in the ambulance, and the guy says, well, I guess you were naughty today. Huh?
Yeah.
But he found me overdosed Another Time on Christmas.
Right? Yeah.
Tony Souza. Did you ever tell you that one, buddy? Yeah.
No, I don't know. Tony Souza's. I pulled up on Christmas, and the ambulance was there, and they were just putting him in the ambulance. It was Christmas Eve.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit, man, that's Mike, you know? And it was awful, you know? I felt awful. I'm like, is he going to be all right? Well, you never know, right?
Right.
So I go in the house, and, you know, the ambulance left. I go in the house, and Tony Souza comes up to me, and he gives me a scoop, a spoon of cocaine. He drops a scoop of coke in front of me.
Right.
Takes off, gone. Had a whole big bag of coke. I'm like, where Tony got that?
You know where he got it.
Took it from Mike. So when he was trying to revive Mike, he must have been putting, what?
He put ice. When I woke up in the emergency room, after they knocked him and stuff, the first thing I did was put my hand down my pants. I remember pulling out ice cubes. And there was, you know, because I'm looking
by the half ounce. He was putting ice on his balls to try to revive him.
Yeah, and he found
it. That was it.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
It was all gone.
Yeah. He didn't save me any.
He ended up in that little cemetery on School Street.
Tony, rest in peace. One of my best friends growing up, he's dead too. His brother David Souza, another friend of mine, dead too. Also overdoses. But after that happened, we were friends forever, and I didn't hold it against him. You know, he made it up to me in other ways. But I went back to his house after I got out of the hospital. He was gone for a couple of days, so he was up for like 2-3 days doing the coke. So I come back, and he's in the bed, knocked out, snoring, and his brother Dave's next to him, and his brother Dave's watching like one of these National Geographic programs, right? He goes, look at that, look at that. I look on the TV, and it's this giant snake. He goes, that fucking snake weighs 280 pounds. I go, what's the big deal? You got one fucking sleeping right next to you. Fucking snake that he is. Fat fuck. But yeah, he stole, he went down my pants and stole the coke that night, which wasn't good, but
getting it was back, good for me. It was great.
Yeah, wasn't good for me. Another Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah.
What year did you get sober now, Kev? And the other company was the insulation company, right?
Yeah, he had the insulation company.
Blowing insulation. That's a good hustle. But the plumbing.
Here's the funny thing. I got sober on April 4th, and I was in. I was off Mass Ave in my pickup truck. It was running, and I must have done a shot. It went out, and my truck was up against a building running in drive, and I was sitting in it, and the police came, and an ex-girlfriend of mine was calling my phone, and she was actually an attorney. She was calling my phone over and over because she couldn't find me. She was worried about me, and the police answered the phone. This is Boston Police, and she's like, is Kevin there? And he's like, yeah, he's passed out at the wheel of truck. And she goes, listen, he's going to rehab today. I can get someone to come there right now. She talked the cop into letting.
Really?
My friend actually owned the rehab. So Danny. He took an Uber, and they didn't charge me with OUI or anything. They let me go, and I went to rehab, and I call the cop every year.
Really?
To tell him to give another guy a chance, because he gave me a chance and I stayed. So, you know, I used the chance and stayed.
Bundy calls the cops that arrested him every year.
I call them.
Well,
he didn't arrest me or anything. Yeah, you know, he loves it when I call him. You know, he goes, it gives me some faith in the system, you know.
Yeah.
And, but that's, you know, those are the good things that sometimes happens to people, you know. And that cop, he saved my life, number one. And then, you know, I didn't have to get my name all in the paper and everything else because I owned a business and, you know, it would have been a big negative effect. But I was able to get sober and stay sober since then.
That's
and,
awesome.
That was great. And that's when you started your sober house. I was running that sober house in Randolph.
Yeah.
And you came up. Mike wanted to see how we ran that house, and I think he got some good ideas when he came up, and he started his organization, which is, you know,
good, real
it's
good.
Doing very well. People are doing very well there. you know, it's like this thing, you know, you say to, like, if you're an addict, it's really hard to get sober. And people, you know, I think that saying they say, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens, because the miracle right. will happen. You know, I mean, look at us three.
Right.
You know, people used to say, I was in the sober house and people like, I can't get a job because my police wreck. And I'm like, come on, kid. Like, you know, I started a business because I couldn't get a job. You know, like you got to do something, take care of yourself, make it happen. You know, nothing can stop you if you have, you know, drive. Ambition and drive. And, you know, and you're not selfish anymore, you know. You're not relying on other people to take care of you. Take care of yourself. And
accept the responsibility for your actions.
That's right.
For your past.
Yeah.
I think any one of us, whether Bundy was stealing heavy equipment or I was selling drugs or robbing things or whatever I was doing, you know, if you got the wits to get drugs every day and get high, if you can't make money when you're sober, then just give up in life, basically. Yeah, really. I mean, you know, there's, especially now, there's so many people looking for work and looking for help. If, you know, people just want to make excuses why they ain't working, or, you know, maybe, you know, they want to get on the dole, you know, especially after that COVID money, everyone just wants, you know, instead of just, you know, parlaying that, getting that money and turning it to something else. I mean, sooner or later, you gotta do something. You gotta do something instead of just getting a check every month. But I remember going to those sober houses. Danny Cleggett's place. Is he in prison? He got in a lot of trouble. And you know, I know he helped a lot of people. I don't have anything bad to say about the guy.
He did help a lot of people.
I met him, you know, a couple times, and I know the Globe ran a real hit piece on him. He, you know, a lot of people, when they're making money, he made so much more money than someone like me who owns a sober house. He got into getting the insurance money. And you make money hand over fist, and people get greedy. He ended up doing all kinds of things. I think he was sending people down to Florida and getting kickbacks. And that's how it started, with a big investigation. And then on and on and on. When you're getting that insurance money, I mean, just having a sober house, you know, if you got 12, 13 guys paying $200 a week, it brings in good money, but you got to pay your insurance. And especially if the mortgage is now, if you buy a house now, it's tough. But even then, you know, you can bring in $8,000, $10,000 a month with, you know, with 10, 12 guys in a house, there's money to be made. But when you're getting that insurance money, that's just money through the roof. So I don't know how he got jammed up exactly. I'm going to guess and say greed. Which gets a lot of people. People have so much money, and you see them get in trouble, and you're like, why would they do that? And, you know, I've been guilty of it. You know, other people are. It's hard to turn it down.
He wasn't a greedy person either. He was helpful. He would help a lot of people. He would sponsor people. He would give everything away. But then there was a greed side, too. You know, there was another side.
Yeah.
There was another side. And It didn't pay off for him, that's for sure.
But, and when the feds get here, as you know, I think you told me something, they were digging up money. Yeah, I don't know if it was somebody else, someone told me, but when they start chasing down, they're going to chase down every penny.
Yeah. They know exactly what you're doing all day, too. So, you know, it's like, you know, you're counting out money in your kitchen table and your door flies open. They got bugging you out.
Hey, when that happens.
But, yeah. So anyway, though, people helped me. You know, another guy really helped me out, and he ended up with a big gambling problem, and he got in the newspapers about all that. And you know, I was sad when that happened, because you know, he was a person that really helped a lot of people, and then you know, he got hit with a problem, and then it's kind of like everyone started firing shots at him.
Yeah, they all turn on you. They can't wait. They show a little weakness.
Yeah, and it's. You know, there's not a lot of honor in the world today. It's funny. There is people who are honorable, and there's a lot of people who are not. And loyal. There's not, you know, loyalty's a huge thing. And that's how you become a better person anyway. You be a man of your word. You know, that's what I like to promote, like hard work and sobriety and stuff like that. That's what I like to talk about. And family. You know, we're all close with our families. Mike's close with his family. He takes care of his dad, his daughter. You know, great family. I have a great family. They never turn their back on me, and I'm lucky that I have them in life. And my partner's like that too. He really helped me out when I needed it. You know, there's a time when you know, you may be on top and then you get kicked down, like we were just saying, and everyone turns their back on you except for maybe one person, and then you pull yourself out, and good things happen. I always say good things happen to good people, you know. Look at Bundy.
Yeah.
Good people.
Yeah.
Good people. Now he's got a cat. I mean, what more do you want in life? He's got a cat.
I tell Bundy all the time.
New chompers.
November was 1 year with him out, and I've known Bundy since I was 15 years old. And if he's been out more than a year, you know, it'll be 2 years this November, so it's whatever it is now, 18 months. If he's been out 18 months in the last 25 years, which I don't think he has been, but I'll promise you this. If he was, by some, you know, stretch of the imagination, he was on the run with warrants, and as soon as they got him, it was over.
Yeah.
He might have been out over a year, you know, once or twice, but like I said, the whole time he was committing crimes, they were looking for him, he was driving around in a stolen truck. So he's made great strides, and I tell him, you know, it took me a long time to realize it, but you hang around people that are doing the right thing, you're going to do the right thing. You hang around people that are doing it right, making money, you're going to make money.
I pulled up to the car wash, and Bundy's at the car wash wiping down this truck.
Oh, I've seen him so many times.
And I says,
he thinks they're his when he steals a truck.
I says, Bundy. I go, that's a nice truck. He goes, yeah, I just bought it. I'm like, nice. You know, it's a nice whip. Yeah. So I call Mike. I say, hey, Bundy, you got a new truck. And he goes, he knows that truck's stolen. I go, he's waxing it. He's at the car wash waxing it.
Guy's telling me, no. He traded.
Who does that?
He stole this and he traded it. I said, listen, I know Bundy my whole life. Trust me when I tell you. All right, so over the last week, we had the Boston Marathon. The other day, we had the UFC fights. Was it the night before the marathon or a couple nights before, which was unbelievable? Was it Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje? So I was watching that fight. I got a touch on this. Did you guys see it?
No.
Oh, my God. Max Holloway, at the end of the first round, he throws like a heel kick and breaks. How do you pronounce that? Gaethje?
He broke his nose.
Yeah, he broke his nose. Yeah.
I saw.
So then he punishes him.
That was a weird kick, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he punishes him the rest of the fight. So it gets to the last round. I'm thinking of like my friend Michael Moore when he was beating George Foreman, and then he gets knocked out in the last round. I'm like, all this guy got to do is stay away from him. The fight's in the bag. And when there was 30 seconds left to go in the fight, he pointed down in the center of the ring, and they both just stood there winging punches, and he caught Gaethje and knocked him dead.
Yeah.
Face first down. I had so much respect for him. Max Holloway after that. Because, you know, you get these fighters, say, like, you know, like a Mayweather, these fighters, they're head on point, yeah, they run, and that's your thing. Hey, they're not going to be like Mayweather. He's not going to be punchy, right? You couldn't even hit the guy. He's on another level. But I didn't enjoy watching his fights. People that get ahead on points and they stay away, you know, that's so boring watching those fights. And I'll tell you, man, talk about it, just excited. It was unbelievable. That fight was unbelievable. And the other girl who beat Holly Holm, she was a monster. Oh, you should see this girl. She was fucking jacked. Unbelievable. I'm like, this girl's going to be on juice, but then, they're not on juice. I don't want to take anything from her. She's obviously an exceptional athlete. Badass. Yeah, she's just a badass. But that fight.
I think they test for that, did they?
Yeah, they got to. That fight was unbelievable. Holloway Gaethje, that was unreal.
You can test 30 days after the fight.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because she's definitely
that's what, that's how Tyson got caught, 30 days after the fight.
He got caught. Boston Marathon, it was. It wasn't somebody from Singali. Guy I won was from Singali. I'm not sure of his name. Local influencer, Davis Clark. You know who that is? Davis Clark ran the marathon. He had a viral video where he shit his pants after the marathon, like a lot of them do.
Yeah, the women do.
Look like he has a diet of pure strawberries because it just looked like fucking blood down in both sides. Really? It was like, oh yeah, I got to show you the video. But he had an unbelievable time. I forget what it was, but this kid, if you don't know him, he came out of nowhere a couple months ago and got like 200,000 followers in a few days. And he has exploded on the scene. And I met him at Peter Welch's gym, and then I saw him in the parade. And just what a good kid, him and his brother, Brennan. You know, I don't know how you can hate on the kid. He's just very positive, always, you know, motivational stuff, and just a real nice, down to earth kid. And whatever he gets coming to him, good for him. You know, I saw something. You already had an article in GQ, maybe Rolling Stone, something.
Wow.
Like, yeah. The kid's I think he's from Winchester. Him and his brother, but just a great kid. He ran the marathon, and so did his brother. Hats off to them. Hats off to anybody who runs 26.2 miles. It was it was a pretty hot day, too.
Mickey did it before, right?
Yeah. Mickey's done it a couple of times. Mickey had a story once where he was out drinking all night the night before. They said they had a pasta meal. He said they're going to have a couple of beers. So he's like, Mike, I'm drinking. All of a sudden, 6 beers, 7 beers, 8 beers. And there's a guy, Joe Vale. He was a running coach. He lives across from Mickey. He was a running coach for some school. And he was a former Marine. He's an older guy. He always worked at the gym. Great guy, Joe Vale. Joe Vale, war hero, too. Purple Heart, maybe Medal of Honor. He don't talk about it much. Seriously. You know those real guys like that. I mean, when I found out, I go, Joe, really? He's like, yeah, I don't talk about it. Yeah, I mean, the real deal, this guy. And he says, Mike, I told Mickey, he said, if you have one more beer, I'm leaving you here. Of course, Mickey orders another beer. Now he leaves him in the North End. Mickey drinks till like 2 a.m. He gets up. He's like, I'm so hungover. He's running the marathon. He goes, I got like 3 miles left. I forget where he was. Mickey could tell the story better than me. He goes, I'm running. He goes, I'm starting to cramp up. He goes, I just stopped. I got my hands on my knees and I'm looking down. And he goes, and this old lady, he goes, she's about 70, stops and goes, you can do it, son. And she hands him like salt pills, whatever they take these pills. I don't know it. Oh, exactly. Jesus. He'll tell me, he's like, I got this like 80-year-old lady running by me telling me I can do it. He goes, it just fired me up. He goes, I sprinted the last 3 miles. Mickey Ward, my guy.
Mickey Ward.
So, yeah, running them. I mean, I couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine running a marathon. I mean, that's.
No.
That is next level stuff. And if you break 3 hours, I forget what Davis did, but he broke 3 hours. I mean, he had a real good time.
Amazing.
His brother a little over 3 hours, but yeah, hats off to them. Like I said, anybody that ran that marathon, anybody that helped organize it, the cops, we all know what happened there 11 years ago. Martin Rich's family, his older brother ran it, the little kid who got killed. I think it was the second or third time he ran it. That was a good thing. A friend of mine, Steve Byrne, his son, threw out the first pitch of the Red Sox game. He was a victim in the bombing, Steve. He was with his two friends at the finish line. And at the last second, he decided to run across the street to the other side. When they hopped over the thing, when you see all the surveillance photos, the kid was right behind him with the hat on backwards with the backpack. He was right behind him. And he put the bag down, and right when they went over the thing, it went off, and Steve got hit with shrapnel all the way up the side. There was a mailbox right there that saved him, but the two kids he was with both lost their legs. So he threw out the first pitch when Big Poppy said, this is our fucking city and all that.
Yeah.
Then Steve threw out the first pitch, and he said some shit about Obama that they cut right out, and it wasn't on the news. And then the other day, his son threw out the first pitch. Opening day, Tim Wakefield thing going on there.
His daughter threw the pitch to Baratech.
Yeah, that was the same day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the same day. Did you see Wakefield's Gronk? Daughter. Did you see Gronk throw out the first pitch?
No.
He Gronk spiked it. Did you see that, Justin?
Of course he did.
Dude, he wound up and just drilled it right down into the mouth. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. You know, it brings you back to
He is phenomenal.
Brings you back to the good old days. So, yeah, Marathon Mondays is a big day. Some people wanted me to go to the Red Sox game, but the crowds and everything going into the city. I'm getting old now. I'm starting to think about crowds and stuff now, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty soon I'll be wearing the fucking Air Monarchs. The Grill Master.
The last opening day I went to was the one where they had stole Brady's shirt, and Brady and Gronk they were there at opening day, and Gronk stole a shirt and ran away.
I was there when they walked out with the five trophies on the center field wall. Was that that day? I was there for one of them when they were all there.
Yeah, that, and Belichick was there. Brady got his shirt stolen after the game.
I forget. Yeah.
Gronk grabbed the shirt. Yeah, I miss Fenway Park. I just said they're not that good this year. I hope something happens next year. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, like the old days. Get some cheap tickets for once. You know, I can't believe they didn't sell out on opening day. I've been to many opening days because that's just a great, great atmosphere. Yeah. Great day to go there. I remember when we first got Manny Ramirez. I was sitting there and the first pitch they threw to him. I was with my son. I said, home run into the net. And they just signed Manny Ramirez, just comes out, the place goes wild. The first pitch, guy hits a line drive over the monster. They didn't have the seats in there. Right into the net, it was like a rainy day that day.
Awesome.
And that place erupted. And
I love seeing him at the plate, man.
Yeah. Just a natural hitter. Beautiful. Guys like that, they just, you know,
amazing.
They're just talented. You know, they're just gifted to have that. Anybody who could hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, or see some of these guys, they wait for it to break. Or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I might get lucky and swing. If you like if you're in the batting cages and you got it on 80 and you get the timing down, you know, I'll get a piece of one. I'm no baseball player by any stretch, but, you know, we all played growing up and stuff. Might be able to hit one of them. But to hit a guy throwing 90 miles an hour and change-ups and curveballs, you got to be a freak.
Standing in there. Yeah, Roger Clemens throwing at your chin. Yeah, I'd
be diving down to the ground. I think it would curve me a strike right at the knees. I'd be thinking it's going to hit me in the head. Like, yeah. you just got to be a freak. You know, any athlete, really, you're just gifted. I know it's a lot of hard work, but you're also gifted. Same with golf. These guys swing a golf club and just, you know, I don't know how they do it, but
they're it's just not for gifted. Us. We're good at other stuff.
Yeah. Like everyone's money. Good at something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We got the Boston Celtics. Right, Justin? Stuff. What's the odds for them to win the East? I mean, that's the bet, right? Talking to Joel earlier, that's the bet. I mean, that should be a layup for them to win the East.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy odds, right? You know, because they have to win the East. What do you, Miami? There's just no way they don't win the East.
No.
They're favorites to win it all. And I'm just going to be positive here. They're going to win it all.
Let's I don't see want to what think happens with the Lakers in Denver.
Yeah, Denver and Milwaukee. You know, there's some stuff. There's some teams out there. But man, if they can't do it this year, I hate to say it. You know, there's a lot of pressure on them. You know, there's a lot of pressure on them. So, Sal, what about the Bruins? I went to the Bruins game the other night. It was a terrible game.
Yeah, they were losing. I know you were there, and I drove by.
What was the final score? 4-1, 5-1. Well, yeah, you can see the score.
Yeah, I was on the phone with Bundy. I go, they're losing. Yeah.
Who'd you go with?
Just Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, my daughter. Went to the game. Mr. Bundles. You talking about the grill piece?
Yeah.
So Mr. Bundles got his teeth pulled.
Best-looking gentleman.
He had He's like, he had the hockey player teeth in the front. You know, he had like the three, four.
Partial.
Yeah, the partial right in the front. So he had the other ones pulled, and he's waiting to get. He wouldn't let them pull him unless they gave him.
Yeah, I said, I need the teeth.
And I
need teeth.
And I wanted.
I ain't walking around too much with no teeth.
I wanted you with no teeth. I wanted no teeth, Bundy.
So they gave him the teeth.
On the podcast. So Bundy did what I did. So
we're going to have him come down Bundy. Sausage Fenway friend.
Bundy.
Hey, they're white, Joel.
Bundy, give it. Gum and a peanut butter and jelly sanging to death over there with his chin touching his nose. So Bundy did what I did. I told Bundy when I was getting the implants and the veneers, so many people come up to me. John Sullivan was one person who said to me, oh, you want him to look natural. You want him to be like a little, you know, yellow, not yellow, but like a little tint to him. I said, listen, thanks for the advice, sir, but I've had yellow teeth for the last 20 years. My teeth are going to be as white as the driven snow.
I said,
as a matter of fact, now that you say that, I'm going to get diamonds in my teeth, which I did.
Which he did.
Yeah.
There's a few more coming.
Yeah, I got a couple more diamonds.
So big ones up to like four. We're going to look different next podcast.
Yeah, I said, thank you for the advice, though, for telling me to spend $15,000 to get yellow teeth. So Bundy did the same. They're like, they're going to be a tea color?
Yeah, tea color.
Yeah, no, you should have said no
they're
coffee.
They're going to blend in good with your bottom teeth.
I'll go with the snow color.
I want them white.
Yeah, so Mr. They Bundles. So now what, they're going to do the bottom?
No, their bottoms are fine.
All right.
I'm just doing the whitening.
Yeah, you can't really see them in the bottoms, you know?
Yeah, bottom teeth are good.
Good.
Bundy's been, thanks to Brock Dokas.
Animal lover.
Oh, yeah.
With the weights, Bundy's been crushing it. I mean, he gave us $800 worth of weights and a rack that probably would have been
2 pounds of dumbbells.
Yeah, like 800 pounds in dumbbells, but then that rack, the dumbbell rack, was a couple hundred bucks. Awesome. So that was big.
The floor mats.
Yeah,
he gave us a love mat. The Sober House basement.
But now he's got me, Brock.
Yeah,
I can never say no to anything he asks me. Don't tell him I said that.
He owns you now.
Imagine he asks me something you want to say no to.
He knows it. He knows it already.
That's why I'm plugging the shit out of his gym. Hey, listen, motherfucker. Yeah. This counts for something.
The old Gold's gym is now.
Yeah, the old Gold's. I made sure he touched me.
Yeah.
But Brock,
gym too.
Brock and Joe and Even Evolution, they train a lot of high school athletes, college athletes. A couple went to the pros. A couple D1 guys started there, and he's real good with the kids. He also works with another kid. What's his name? But he has like a football training thing, especially quarterbacks. He's real good. I forget his name on Instagram. But yeah, they develop these kids and they work them hard. My friend Kevin Richardson's son, Jack and Brady, both go there, and they're beasts. And he gets them kids fired up, you know. And it's a real good program he runs there. He had another place in Lowell, and I don't know if they started out where the West End gym was. Joe had the place downstairs with my buddy Moose, Kevin Colon. Kevin, congratulations. Kevin just got married, didn't invite me to the wedding. He's out in L.A. He's out in L.A. now. But him and Kevin started New England Strength and Fitness in downstairs from the West End gym. And then they had another place off Middlesex Street. And now he was good friends with the guys, the Brazilian kids who do the Evolution Jiu-Jitsu. And they went together and opened this gym. So they have everything there, you know. They have everything. They even got the cold plunge upstairs. So I'm pretty psyched. They made me pay full price for the membership.
Did you do the cold plunge already?
It's nothing. Are you kidding me? They said 3 minutes. I was in there for 10 minutes. I sent my girl to go get me an iced coffee while I was in that thing. There's nothing.
No, that's a nice place.
I stayed in there 3 minutes. It was. I was staring at the clock the whole time. Yeah, it was like 35 degrees or 30 degrees. I forget what the water was. But you got these guys that do that stuff all the time. And they always talk about the health benefits of it. I mean, you get the guys in South Boston at the L that have been doing it for fucking 20 years. You know?
Yeah.
They had you.
The Bull Biz.
Goodman. Big Bri and Marky and Brian and all those guys. The other guy who refs the fights. I forget his name. But you got guys on the L that have been going in the ocean like that. Tommy Keen. You know Kano? You know Kano?
No.
Kane's kid, Tommy. He swims every day all winter. Really? Swims like a runs like 3 miles and swims a quarter of a mile.
That's
every
crazy.
Fucking day. It'll be like 3 degrees with a wind chill. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Swims a quarter mile in the ocean every day. So I always worried, like a couple of times they, you know, tried to get me to do it. I was afraid my heart would seize up or something.
It will.
Jump in the, you know
it
what
will.
I mean? I did it when I was a kid, when I was 15 in the Cape, January 3rd.
Kill me. Salisbury Beach kills me in the summer.
Yeah,
that's like a pool.
You get spoiled. You go to Florida, the water's like bath water. But yeah, they got the cold plunge up there. They have everything. They got everything at gym. I'm really excited for them to open up. He actually hooked me up with a membership. I'm gonna fucking add that.
Yeah, I heard you got a free membership. I was like, does it ever stop? Does it ever?
It's a nice way. So it's huge. They got everything.
Beautiful.
We got to touch on Sean Wick as usual. He has become part of
piece of shit.
Yeah, piece of shit. Sean Wick, his book absolutely tanked. It's in like 800,000th place on the bestsellers on Amazon. See that, Justin? 800,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. 800,000 books ahead of his.
Yeah.
It really tanked. He's been real quiet on his Instagram. Which is awesome. The guy James English that we pulled those clips up from, the James English podcast, he tried putting up another post to him recently, and the comments were just nonstop. He took it down a day later. So this guy, like, the word is out there. I know he was saying he's on Peacock with a reality show, but they got to be talking. The people at Blackstone Publishing, they were sent like a cease and desist from these guys, whether it was Kevin Weeks or these other guys that he talks about, how he went to his family, Monteranos, whoever he claims to, you know, his that were his uncles. A lawyer sent a cease and desist, and they put off the publishing, and then they a week later they still released the book. So they're negligent, just no journalistic integrity. I believe they gave him a $50,000 payment, so they must have just been trying to recoup that money. And it's looking like they'll never get that money back because the book fucking tanked. Thank God. And we gotta let people know that they don't even let you review the book anymore. That's another death knell. When you look at a book and you see there's only 22 comments, that's how you know nobody bought the book.
Yeah.
You know, if you reviews, if you see,
you gotta buy it to put a comment, right?
No, someone actually bought it. They didn't even let him put a thing. He's like, I'm so pissed. I actually ordered it to make
a comment.
And he wrote a review and they didn't even put that up. So they stopped the reviews. There's only 22 reviews. So that's another sign that a book tanked.
Yeah.
Because if a book was a bestseller, you know, there's gonna be a lot of reviews, and there's usually a review from, you know, somebody like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, some legitimate, you know, publication. They just have a couple of reviews that they bought and paid for, you know, Amazon, some other writer, some fugazi thing like that.
See, out of that piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'd like to see this creep.
Yeah.
I know, Wista.
Definitely.
Kevin, oh, you see that? Every time I say I'm now, I'm... Justin, you're going to have to do a little more editing. All right?
He doesn't want the arms out. I want you to leave the arms so I can say, watch him. He does arm out.
Arm
Yeah, I know.
That's what you should do.
There's got to be none of that. What else we got going on? Yeah, the Sox suck. That's terrible.
Terrible.
Bruins.
Team.
You never know. There we go. The Bruins are going to use a rotation of goalies, I'm hearing. So they're dead.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
You need a hot goalie, right? We need one goalie, like Tim Thomas, when he was on fire. What was that, 2011?
Yeah.
When Tim Thomas was standing on his head, that's what you got to hope for. You just get a hot goalie, and anything can happen. It's looking like they're going to be rotating. So I don't like that idea. The Red Sox, not looking too good. Boston Celtics. I mean, Bruins got a shot. You know, Bruins got a shot. They got a real shot. It's not like, you know, they're terrible. They're a good team. But I like to see one goalie in there. Like I said, you get a hot goalie, and that's it. You're doing it. Celtics, when do we start? Saturday or Sunday? When's it? Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. First playoff game. Sunday's that's it. You're going to be locked in for that. What else I got going on this week coming up? Justin, what are you doing? You going away this weekend?
Be up in Portland Sunday doing wedding shit.
Oh, scouting out for the.
I got a birthday party tomorrow night, baby shower during the day. Full weekend.
Yeah, you're booked. Bundy's a big baby shower.
We've been
guy.
To a lot of baby
yeah.
showers.
Yeah, Bundy. Yeah, yeah,
my wife always asking me to go to baby showers.
For some reason, people want Bundy at their baby shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can relate.
This week I got my lead supervisor's license.
Yeah, lead renovator.
Lead renovator. That was 2 days ago. I had to do an 8-hour class. I got a 92 on the test. Bundy, when's the last
That's
time
good.
You got a 92?
That's good.
Bundy, did you ever get a 92?
Did you see him with
the suit he was wearing?
Yeah.
We should have got that on the podcast. the clear
jumpsuit.
Full radiation suit.
Yeah, it was
perfect.
I felt like, you know, on the first 48 when they come walking out with that white, with one of the white zip-up suits on when they take your clothes. So I did that. Then today I had another 6-hour class. My general contractor's license expires on my birthday, May 2nd. 55 years old, May 2nd.
Nice.
You know, it's
right before Cinco de Mayo, 55. Right. That's a big event.
Yeah.
Have to make an event. That's when Bean Shooter 34 is going to get crowned, I think.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's bittersweet. You think, oh, 55, like, you know, it's old, right? I'm an old man. And part of you, like, Bundy's very vain. People don't know this about his age, right? Nobody likes to get old. You're like, you know, I'll talk to him about it. It's like, oh, what the fuck? You know, it sucks. But I had my friend John Sullivan, whose brother Paul Sullivan was a great guy. Rest in peace, Paul. And he said, Mike, I never want to hear you complain about another birthday.
Lucky to have one. Yeah.
Lucky to have one.
Who said right? that, Sully?
Yeah. See, I never want to hear you complain about having another birthday. Because there's a lot of good fucking people that don't have another birthday. That are going to stay the same age forever.
Makes sense.
It puts things in perspective. It makes you think, wow, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to be turning 55. I'm lucky to still be here. You know, we're lucky to turn 22, whatever it is. People die young. People die every day. And I'm like I said, it's bittersweet. You're like, wow, 55 years old. Sometimes you're like,
Don't look it. Don't look it.
Yeah, I don't act it.
No, you definitely don't act it.
I know that much. Either. Anything else I want to touch on? I want to thank Kev for coming on. Like I said, I've known
Thanks
Kev.
For having me.
I know Kev since what, mid-90s, right now?
Yeah, long time.
Yeah, about 20 years. The old Billrick House of Correction. And he's helped me out so much with, like I said, that very first time when he saw me on the street when I was sick and he gave me money. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. He's helped out so much with my sober houses. Like I said, he's a plumber. Yeah. He's helped me so much with different things. He even just hooked up the bidet. He's going to hook up the bidet for Bundy.
Yep.
Whenever we get a plumbing problem. He does it free of charge. He's another one that, you know, if he ever asks me for something, I'm morally and legally bound to say yes to whatever it is. But I just tell him, be kind. But he's helped me in a lot of ways. It doesn't matter what. If I need a ride, I know I could call him at any time. Say, Kev, I need a ride. Or to the airport. He's brought me to the airport plenty of times. Whatever it is, he's never said no to me. And I like to think I'm the same way. If he ever needs anything from me, I'll be there for him.
Sure.
As far as as Bundy goes, sometimes we got to say no, me and Kevin.
We got to limit him sometimes.
Yeah, Bundy actually, he holds Kevin hostage. He plays little games to get him to the show house. And he corners him and doesn't let him leave sometimes until he pays the toll. Yeah. And the toll amount changes. It's 50. What's the most
it varies. It varies.
Well, no. I was going to drop him a 50 the other day. And... you know, I said, you know what? All I got's hundreds on me. I'm going to come back and give you 50. And then I said, you know what? I'm not going to be able to come. It's going to take me out of my way. So, you know what? I'm just going to give you the 100. Oh, I dropped him the 100. So I got soft, didn't I?
You definitely got soft.
He was very happy.
Yeah. I was jumping up and down.
But we're all fortunate to be in a position to be able to do this and laugh. We've all been, you know, been at times in our life where we were, you know, in very, very
trudging through the slush and more.
Yeah, trudging through the slush.
Dirty slush.
Yeah. I remember walking.
They have clean slush here in Braintree. In Lowell, it's dirty.
Yeah, it's black.
Yeah.
So May 2nd coming up, my birthday. I told Bundy today the same thing I said to Shin. I said, listen, I want to tell you something real serious right now. I said, I know you probably have big plans and you're getting me all these extravagant gifts and everything, Bundy. I said, don't do it. Just, you know, when you're a kid,
nice
you
make simple.
You make like the card, you know, and you say it means more to me than you know than that. But cash always works too inside one of those cards.
Cash is king.
But I want to thank Kevin coming on. TK Mechanical, if you need any plumbing,
HVAC,
plumbing, everything. They do all the AC units. He did the AC Many units, splits. The central air units in my sober houses, and whatever you need, he's got you. Supposed to give me a van.
Thank you, Mike. We're working on something.
I want to thank Kevin for coming on. Justin, thanks again. That's number 22 in the books. How many times did
23,
I say
23. Number 23. 23.
I keep saying it, right? 23, Michael Jordan.
See, I remember because I know we're at Bean Shooter 33 and we're going to be at 34. Yes. 23's catching up. We got to make 34. Huh?
Yeah, we need Bean Shooter 34 tattoo coming up. It's either going to be Big Poppy edition.
Fact, or any girls that want to apply to be Bean Shooter 34, please just leave a message and we'll vote on it.
Bundy's been thinking about getting a Bean Shooter tattoo.
$1,000. Can't go wrong.
All right, that's it. Thanks, Justin. Like a bunch of narcotics. Pull up in a new Ferrari. Living life, just got it. Come on. Chopping bricks like karate. Drink a bunch of cocaine.